Hello again, and welcome to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. My guest today is a real Renaissance man. He is a longtime journalist, someone I've envied for a long time. He's a writer and an editor. He's also an activist and an arts advocate, and he's the chairman of the president of the board of Creative Pinellas. What doesn't this guy do? He's an actor. Okay, we got stuff to talk about. Now, his name is David Warner. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
See, I knew he was going to do that. How long have you been in St. Pete now?
We moved down here in 2004.
Okay.
That's when I started working at what was then the Weekly Planet.
And you took over and became Creative Loafing, obviously.
It returned to being Creative Loafing. It had originally been Creative Loafing, and there was a bit of a kerfuffle there, and then the name reverted to the original, which is the, it was founded in Atlanta. And Ben Eason, the son of the founders, opened the Weekly Planet and then took over the whole company. That's when I came back to be Creative Loafing.
So you came in as a writer?
Came in as the editor.
You came in as the editor of the Weekly Planet?
Of the Weekly Planet.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, I had you down as editor of Creative Loafing for 13 years. Does that not include the Weekly Planet editorship?
Well, I started there in 2004.
You were there a long time, my friend.
I was. Yeah. The 2004, the 2018. Yeah, so close, 14 years.
Can you describe those years for me? I only know the Creative Loafing of sort of today, but I remember in the latter days, you had a great staff. Lee Lanny Polk was there.
Oh, yeah.
A whole lot of really great people. What was it like kind of steering that through that period in Bay Area history?
Wow. The first year I was there, 2004, was the three hurricanes season.
Oh, yes.
And I was all agog because I thought, oh, this is exciting because I come from up north and we would... The last hurricane I remembered hitting was when I was 6 years old on Cape Cod. But hurricane. Let's team coverage, everybody. And everybody was so blasé about it. It was really funny. They knew I was not a Floridian. and then Charlie, for which there was evacuation, and did one of those, led the frogs in the retention pond in our old office on Lemon Street in Tampa to all be stuck to the front door.
The things you remember, that's really, so biblical.
Frogs. No locusts appeared as far as I can remember. But so it was exciting to be in this new place. We had the luxury of a big staff then, and then the company expanded and that didn't work out the way they hoped it would be, so then I had the pain of going through layoffs and making those happen, and then experienced that pain myself in 2018 when Creative Loafing was purchased by another owner. But I loved my time there. I'm really proud of what we were able to accomplish. I feel like it's the other day I ran into somebody that was we used to do this thing called 20 artists under 20 or 25, 20 artists under 25. It varied the numbers people who have gone from there. And I can say I knew them when there's a dancer now with American Ballet Theater that we featured on the cover, who at that point was still at PCCA at Gibbs Performing Arts High School. Now he's a principal in a major American ballet company. I ran into the mother of a young woman we featured, I think, in that same issue, who was a stage manager. That's how we wrote about her. And now she's stage managing the biggest Cirque du Soleil show in Las Vegas.
Wow.
So it's been exciting to ride that theme. I've always been a really dedicated to the arts myself as a person who's an arts practitioner, but also because I believe in what it can do for a community. And look what it's done for our community.
That's really, I was going to say, that's an important, I don't know if perk is the word, but thing that I really like about this job that I have done for essentially 40 years.
And you're doing it incredibly well.
I
wrote you an award about it.
Yes, you did, and thank you for that. But if you're going to do it right, if you're going to do it correctly, you're going to ingrain yourself in the community. You're going to make a lot of acquaintances, maybe not that many friends, but a lot of acquaintances. Everybody knows who you are, and you know who they are and what they do, and you become part of the community in that way. And I've always found that, like a blessing, really. Yeah,
absolutely. Know.
And creative loafing, there was a period there when the Times was, and I don't mind saying it publicly, ceding its ownership of the city as far as news goes. And creative loafing took over this sort of, I don't want to say the youth market exactly, but, you know, readers were kind of aging out, newspaper readers, and there was young people who were still hungry for information about the things they liked. Mm-hmm. That's what creative loafing was cool about, and written well, and not just some stupid mimeograph thing with a bunch of hipsters on the front, right, which has been done around the country. You've seen it.
Yeah.
So 2018, you were going, let's go back a little bit, though. You're from Massachusetts.
Yes.
You went to Harvard.
I did.
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, it was very intimidating at first because I was from a little high school on Cape Cod, and I was there with people who went to big ass prep schools and things, but I found a home there actually by doing theater. So it was, I did plays almost every semester, but at the same time that I was able to sort of like delve into the stuff I loved in English literature. I was an English major, and or whatever they call it now. And but it was at first intimidating, but I really do appreciate the time I spent there and the people I got to meet. And you know, I have a 50th reunion coming up in the spring.
Well, where did journalism come into it for you, though? I mean,
I was always a writer, and you know, this, I always loved writing. And in fact, it's the same thing. When I went, when I got out of school, I got out of college, I took teaching jobs in first in Connecticut and then in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I got to know the nascent alt weekly there in Philadelphia, and started asking them if I could freelance for them.
That's how it works, man.
Yeah, and yeah. I started writing stories for them, and then I started writing stories about the arts community, and eventually they I had a brief stint with a professional theater as a development director in Philadelphia, and they said, you don't like this job, come work for us, be our managing editor in charge of the arts at Philadelphia City Paper, which is a wonderful paper and is no longer with us, RIP. But that was really exciting because sort of like when I came here in 2004, it reminded me of the time when I started at City Paper in Philly. The art scene was just beginning to burgeon.
Yeah.
I did a lot of coverage of the first Philadelphia Fringe Festival. I was one of the few reporters in the area who was giving it in-depth coverage. And it's huge now. And similarly, I think I got here about the same year that got to St. Pete in 2005. We lived in Tampa for a year.
Yeah.
And one of the first people I met was Bob Devin Jones at the Studio 620. So, and he certainly was in the forefront of the Renaissance in downtown St. Pete. And so it's been so exciting to see that growth happen here as I watched it happen in Philadelphia. And to do that now as president of the Creative Pinellas Board, seeing how much throughout the whole county there's so much exciting stuff going on, so many talented people, and identifying, I don't do it, it's a jury panel do it, but they find the next emerging artists, right? And as we were doing back in Philadelphia City Paper, I actually never made that connection in my mind before, but it's true, sort of like setting the groundwork for the future of
people
the arts.
To watch.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you do in the paper. Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Or 20 under 20 or whatever.
Whatever we call it.
Whatever it was.
Whatever digits they were.
What brought you to St. Petersburg from Philadelphia, though?
My husband, Larry Biddle.
Hey, Larry.
Who is pretty well known around town here, and he was in Philly as well. He's an expert fundraiser and also an activist.
Who was Larry working for in those days?
He was working for Betty Castor's U.S. Senate campaign.
Okay.
And that was a tricky time. It was the time of Alarian controversy was happening at USF. A professor who was, this was, you know, not long after 9/11, and he was suspected of leanings that people didn't approve of. Mm. And we did a lot of coverage of that in the city papers. So there were certain city papers, sorry, at Creative Loafing.
Easier to get them mixed up.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And I came down here. We actually had spent a while in Vermont because he was working on the Howard Dean presidential campaign.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He was his deputy finance director.
I remember that. I remember Larry telling
yeah,
me that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I worked for a paper up there, too. We lived in Burlington, Vermont. And then he got the call to come down here to Florida. I was loving Vermont and had never had any inclination to move toward Florida.
No, you had no interest in Florida.
I had no interest in Florida is the way I'm saying it. Yes, trying to be diplomatic. And I came down here, and as I've said, I mean, he was smart. It was still pretty cold up there in Vermont in March when I came down. So he rented a convertible for me to drive around in, and I was driving up the Skyway, Sunshine Skyway Bridge, and thinking, huh, this is pretty sweet. I think I should probably think about moving down here. And it happened exactly the same time. I moved down here because he came down here, but at the same time, they were looking for a new editor at The Weekly Planet.
Yeah, there you go.
And I had been doing the same job, essentially, in Philadelphia. So
God, it was serendipity. Nice when, it's nice when that happened. When I went to, not to make this about me, but this is what I've done all my life. And when Amy, my wife, and I moved to we got married there, to Savannah, the Alt Weekly there was just looking for a new music and arts editor.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I was like, hey, hi. Yeah.
Here I am.
So, right. And we were there for 6 years before we came back here. And, this is my hometown. So you're an actor as well, though. Yep. Is that something you've done the whole time, maybe in Philly?
I did it the whole time because I went to grad school in theater after teaching in Villanova University and in outside Philly. And got to be part of the theater community there. And as I said, got into journalism through theater. When I came down here, it was as a journalist. So I didn't jump into doing theater. It was a little complicated. You know, you were editing a very well-known theater critic that not everybody was happy with. But I was.
That's a touchy.
Yeah,
I've been that editor.
Yes.
So I know what you're talking about.
So you don't want to go and insert yourself into the community if you're also covering the community.
Yeah.
But after a while, and now that I'm freelancing, since I'm no longer with Creative Loafing, I was with DuPont Registry Tampa Bay for a couple of years, and now that I'm freelancing, I have time to write and to act and to do nonprofit kinds of things, like working for Creative Pinellas as well as for the St. Pete Free Clinic. I'm on their board, both organizations I'm incredibly proud of.
Yeah.
So now I can do it. And so now I'm in Scrooge McBeth at Yob Central.
And before we came on here, I wondered if it was called Scrooge McDuck, which I think is like an old Disney thing. Apologies to Ward Smith, because it's called Scrooge McBeth. And it opens, I want to say, on the 7th?
Yes.
Am I correct?
You are correct.
Because I looked it up and then forgot to open the page.
That's next week.
This is at the Off Central, folks, which is over there on First Avenue South, a fantastic place. If you didn't see the No Exit they did, you really missed something spectacular.
Yeah, terrific show.
Tell me about Scrooge McBeth.
Well, it's a really funny play. And it's set in a community theater, a small community theater, where most of the cast of their Christmas production of A Winter's Tale by Shakespeare have gotten food poisoning, and it's and so the four people who are left decide they're going to do a mashup of Christmas and Shakespeare, since they are known for doing A Christmas Carol, but they want to do that again. So it's as if these four hapless folks are making up a Shakespeare/Christmas review as they go along. I do the to be or not to be speech, but it's about holiday shopping. I play Santa at one point, and the good little boys and girls that come to sit on my lap include Lady Macbeth. So
I'm coming to see this one. It's written by David McGregor, who I don't know. Not that I would, but I just want to throw his name out there. So I sounded like I knew what I was talking about. Who else is in the cast?
Oh, it's a great cast. Tracy Reynolds.
Oh, Tracy's great.
Yeah, sure. And Troy Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Who's great. And Melissa Meisner, who's hilarious, who you people mostly know from opera.
I know her name.
Yes, you've seen her name and operas on both sides of the bay. And she's just doing a great job. She plays my wife, Troy, and Tracy are a couple. And then we have Lucy Bishop, who plays the crusty old stage manager. And she is
so it's typecasting so for funny. Lucy. Right?
she probably would agree. She has a great sense of humor. And
I was going to say, I love Lucy, but it sounds like a TV show.
Yeah, we all love Lucy. She's fantastic. And it's just been a lot of fun to work on. I mean, it is like a tricky thing to be acting like you were just making it up on the spot, even though you're actually reading, you actually memorized the script.
It sounds
more or less memorized the script.
More or less. It sounds like a lot of fun. Tell us some other shows you've been in. I remember you did the job site thing. You did Romeo and Juliet.
I played the nurse and Aeschylus, the prince who gets to say the tale of woe at the end. That was an inventive piece of double casting on David Jenkins's part. I got to wear a turban, which was fun, and a caftan, and I was more—I don't know if I was gender nonspecific or just the nurse.
Yeah,
but it was that was a great cast in that production too. Really, and I've done things around. I've done a number of things at the Gulfport Community Players.
Yeah, that's where I met Lucy and a lot of other people too.
You have done things there as well.
I haven't in a few years, but we certainly crossed paths. That's where I met Michael Horn, mm-hmm. who's been in my show Mayday now for two different productions.
Yeah, he was terrific, yeah.
And he works on, he does
he's a technical genius on top of
a genius
else,
on lights and tech, I don't know what you call it, he builds things and he's amazing.
Yeah.
He could build a robot that could probably do the play.
He built
as good as you though, Mike.
He built a time traveling clock that we used in the last thing I was in.
I remember that. Yes. Yeah, that's right. The Space Pandas.
Revenge of the Space Pandas. Yeah. Yes. So we raffled off that clock. It was a very successful little raffle.
What do you like about acting? I mean, I know I haven't done it in a while. I'm kind of itching to get back out.
You still do
there.
A radio theater project. I heard really good in the last.
I heard you were really good in the one before that man. So yeah, where were you? Weren't there? Oh, you're in rehearsal.
I was in rehearsal.
Of
yeah.
Of course, I'm in rehearsal again. Yeah, that's fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It expresses a part of myself that I don't get to express otherwise. I mean, I don't know. It's a spiritually satisfying thing to do, even though I agonize about it, just like I, agonize about writing a story.
And well, if you don't agonize about it, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, right. But but there's a real joy when it works, right? Whether you've written a story or when you have when you know something is clicking, on stage, and there's terror when you know it's not clicking. So we hope to sort of channel the terror we feel into a production where we're all actors apparently terrified.
Oh, sure, that's perfect. Yeah.
And I just wanted to add that speaking of writing, is that I just wrote a story that I'm proud of that I loved working on about my neighborhood, which is the Skyway Marina District. I'm doing a series of stories called Skyway Stories in the Gabber, the Gulfport newspaper. Of course, they're right 8 minutes away from this new district in South St. Pete, South 34th Street. 34th Street South, and I've always been curious about that little church in the middle of all that development, how that survives. It's a St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church, St. Bart's for short. Turns out to be the oldest church still continuously operating. It's an original sanctuary. It was built in 1887 over in another part of St. Pete. It was disassembled and reassembled at this corner of 38th and 34th in 1970, and they've got a new rector who's been there a year and is really turning the place around. It was fascinating to learn about the what the issues are in running a church these days, but also this is an old church in the middle of apartment building.
Drove down there the other day. We used to live in Maximo a few years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, and we drove. I couldn't believe. and Amy says that's where Dave and Larry live, and I'm like, it's like all these huge buildings. There was nothing there just a couple of years ago.
Right.
So this church is still operational.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah, and it's doing and it's thriving. On Sunday they'll have a camel. Because they begin the first Sunday of Advent with a live nativity.
A camel.
an actual a camel, and then a live and a creche where you can dress up with your family and pose.
Wow!
And
where do you rent a camel?
I asked the same question.
The good journalist always does, right?
And I didn't include it in the story, but I do know.
Okay.
He did not know whether it was a Bactrian or a dromedary, though. I didn't feel it was necessary.
If you were writing for like
one hope
the Humanities
two.
Forum magazine, you might want to, you know, that's the sort of thing they would say. Can you go back and ask?
I what kind of camel it was, which I did, and he said, I don't know what kind of camel it is. What do you think?
It's a big camel.
It's a big camel. So watch for that Sunday afternoon if you're in the neighborhood.
What's the name of the church? St. Bart's.
St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church.
Well, so you wrote this for the Gabber?
Yeah.
Is the story out yet?
The story will be out December 7th.
Oh, fantastic. December 7th happens to be, look at the segue I found, happens to be opening night for Scrooge Macbeth at the Off Central, which David is in, along with some other wonderful people. And it runs through, I think, the 17th. So look at the catalyst. I'm sure we'll have more about that. Before we finish up, I have to ask you about Creative Pinellas.
Yes.
Because it is obviously such an important part of your life and very important to this city. In a nutshell, for those people who don't really understand what an umbrella arts organization does, I always think of it as a support group, but there's much more to it than that.
Well,
define it.
Officially the county's, Pinellas County's local arts agency. And the county supports Creative Pinellas through tourist funds primarily. Mm-hmm. And we support individual artists and in various ways, and with events in our gallery, and with us, and we were instrumental in sort of bringing and gathering together funds during COVID for both individual artists and arts organizations.
Yeah.
The organization had its roots in as the Pinellas County Arts Council, which was dismantled in 2008, 2009 because of the recession, among other things. And Barbara St. Clair, who was our CEO, gradually has rebuilt it to a really thriving organization. She began in 2016. She's retiring at the end of the year.
Yes.
And we are actually on the same week that my play opens interviewing the three finalists for to succeed her as a CEO. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in a great place right now. We're also involved in a countywide cultural plan, which is a good example of how we work with the county. The county selected a search firm to ask around the county stakeholders, audience people, arts leaders, politicians, what the cultural landscape of this county needs, where it's strong, where it's weak. So starting next year, I mean, all the groundwork is being laid for this. People in Pinellas County will be getting interviewed by the folks from the Cultural Planning Group, which is the company that's doing this. And they'll take that, make it into a report, and we'll take it to the county. And with any luck, that will result in decisions about future funding of the arts that will be really important.
Where do you see things going in this community? I wanted to point out, too, that Creative Pinellas is not just St. Petersburg, hence the name. It talks about Lipa Ratner. It talks about Dunedin and Clearwater and Tarpon Springs and the other places which also have arts communities, you might be surprised to know, in Pinellas County. It's not just St. Petersburg.
No.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the future of the arts here, as this place keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I got a whole lot of flack for writing about Caribou Coffee, which is a chain came in. It's not local. You know, as more of that happens, won't the responsibilities of an organization like Creative Pinellas be, more key to keeping local in the arts community?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, I feel like there's only going to be growth, and And all of the very kinds of arts organizations and arts communities in the county are behind why we have branded Visit St. Petersburg Clearwater has joined with us in branding the area the Arts Coast. That the selling point is that there are beaches and they're beautiful and we invite you to come, but you're going to have world class art all through the county, which you probably aren't going to have in a lot of beach tourism destinations. And in that sense, what we hope to see is that audiences increase for all the different genres, that awareness increases so that you know when you're coming to Pinellas County, there's the Dalí, of course, but then there are how many museums now?
An arts destination.
Recently opened in St. Pete.
A destination.
It's a destination, yeah. Right. And that you should go to Dunedin for the shopping, but it's also a great arts community. And that all of these things can work together. I think the north-south divide is something that comes up whenever anyone talks about the arts in Pinellas County. But what something like the cultural plan can do is have everybody on the same page as to where the growth is and where the needs are and how we can continue to promote it and make it nationally, internationally known. I think it deserves to be. I think it's a remarkable area.
Well, as I often say at the close of the show, from your lips to God's ears, you know,
yeah.
Let's make that happen. David Warner, absolute pleasure, as always,
Thank
to talk
you so
with
much
you.
For having me.
And best of luck, broken legs, as they say. And I'm not calling it Scrooge McDuck again,
no.
Ward. So we'll see you soon.
All right, great. Thank you.